Hello, Probars!
Howdy, howdy.
Welcome to But It Was Aliens, the extraterrestrial comedy podcast dedicated to solving riddles and tearing down walls made of lies, and calling shenanigans on extraterrestrial bullshit to bring you the truth about what's really out there. One thing we have said from the jump, and we wholeheartedly stand by, is the fact that you can't trust a John.
Whoa.
So without further ado, let me introduce you to my co-host for today's case, Kevin the Grey, a.k.a. Greybeard, a.k.a. Greynut, a.k.a. John Boy, a.k.a. Kevin the Tall.
You're really laying it in with that one, aren't you? You're not going to let it go.
You said that you wanted me to manifest it.
Well, I kind of do.
Then stop your bitching.
I feel conflicted because I feel you're mocking me. I also want it to be true.
I can either manifest it or I can leave it be. It's your call.
We've covered many times that you can trust a John. They're the most honourable and trustworthy of people. Trustworthy. Worthy of trust.
Don't think we've ever covered a case where you can trust a John.
John Thumb.
I immediately pictured the picture of my thumb when he said that.
A face on your thumb. Oh, that's a callback to an old episode.
It's a great picture. Today, we will be looking at several cases and also touching on some that we have covered before.
Ooh, we don't often do that. This is a very dramatic pause.
It's because I realised I left one out and I left out the one that we covered before. So today, we will be looking at several cases.
And are we?
Because you see, these cases all have one thing in common.
That you cannot trust a moonwalker?
Not just a thing, but a man. Not just any man. An honest and trustworthy man. A man called Mac.
Return of Mac. It is! Mac Daddy, son.
A picture of Mac there for you.
I have no recollection as to who Mac is, but he looks like a creepy bugger. This gentleman is a probably just beyond middle-aged white guy in a white shirt with cord trousers.
Corduroy.
He's got hands together, open hands, fingers touching, like an evil genius slash creepy pest who you might see lingering outside schools.
So John Mac,
oh no,
MD, which clearly stood for Mac Daddy.
Oh, I remember that.
Was once a professor.
What episode was that?
At the prestigious Harvard University.
You can trust this person.
And is also a Pulitzer Prize winning author.
I take it all back.
Now those are some credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Daddy
knows his shit.
Decided to become a researcher and ufologist following meetings he had in 1990 with Bud Hopkins.
Mac Bird, dream team.
Mac would undergo scrutiny from fellow professionals at Harvard.
Idiots.
So had his research peer reviewed. Not all believed his findings, but they all agreed that his methods were just and that there was no leading of those he interviewed.
See, when you say that, it immediately makes me suspicious that he's leading people he's interviewing. I've got such a suspicious mind.
Is that because you can't trust a John?
You can trust a John, but this is half a John, because this is also a Mac Daddy.
So what makes a full John?
I'll be the judge of that. You didn't answer the question. Ah, but did I?
I don't trust you, you're a John. So let's
not a Mac Daddy though.
Let's take a look at a case. In 1991, Mac Daddy
baby
met Scott. Scott was 24 at the time, and he had a need to check that doors and windows were always locked.
Smart.
Not only this, but security cameras and alarms were installed at his house. The need for this level of security wasn't due to a burglary or a home invasion, but due to being visited
by John.
In April 1990, Scott began having flashbacks, almost as if recalling a dream. Almost as if not recalling a dream, but recalling a memory. And it's one that scared him.
Was it a memory of Cheeky Bum Fun?
This partial memory was of short beings in his room. There were no other details. They were just there.
It was a room full of Johns!
But that also set off another memory.
Uh-oh.
This time of when he was a small boy around the age of 10.
Uh-oh.
Those same beings were there, and there was a flying saucer outside of his window. With Mac, he underwent hypnotic regression, and more memories came forward. When he was but a wee boy, he was outside in the garden playing in the dirt. He turned around, and there they were. One of them approached him and touched his forehead with a strange rod. He then went running back inside to his mother, clearly upset, and he told his mother that he saw big ants out there.
Big ants with a big rod?
Mm-hmm. Randy ants.
This reminds me of a case that we covered previously, whereby the alien had a magic rod.
Alien Ant Farm. Do you know what the episode of that case was?
I've got no idea. I think I'm getting confused between two. There was definitely one with a rod. My mind is going to the one where the aliens were collecting dirt, but I don't know that that was actually the one.
I know what one you're on about. I cannot remember the name of it.
We've covered so many at this point. It's difficult.
But I think they might have been separate episodes.
Either way, we've definitely covered an alien with a magic stick. Didn't we have the guy who chased after the alien with a weapon and tried to launch himself at them, thinking he was all tough? You think you're tough?
Can't remember. There's been so many.
There's been so many that it's tough to listen back at this point. You need a lot of spare time to do it. So we've got a lifetime experiencer here. Touched his forehead with a rod. Was he frozen at that point? I'm going to guess that he was, and then he was taken onto the ship. They dropped him back afterwards, and at that point he ran to Mummy.
Oh,
Mummy, so I've been tapped on the head, Mummy!
Kind of froze his consciousness, took him up, then brought him back.
Possibly wiped his mind, possibly froze him. I'd lean towards wipe, just based upon the fact that memories are coming back to him.
It's not a bad chap.
Why would they touch the head with a rod? Why else?
Depends what it does.
Yeah, but
unless, like you said, they're either
that's like their version of a neuralizer. It's their weapon that places some sort of current in someone's head to render them unconscious. Or these are just really mocking bastards. They're like poking the human with a stick to see what happens. Boop. Look at this one.
Growing up, getting medical treatment was a regular thing for Scott.
Oh no.
Bouts of dizziness, headaches, and sometimes seizures. Within his medical notes, there was mention of hallucinations, and during these, he would see a spinning coloured triangle, along with a female being that would be leaning over his bed.
Hey! Huggins!
Episode 1.
Was there a Jiminy Cricket pervert in the corner of the room jacking it?
Don't worry about me.
It's hard not to worry about someone when they're in the corner of your room jacking it, isn't it, really? Let alone where they look like a cricket.
Yeah, it would be. Scott's sister Lee also experienced encounters. Now this is going to get a little bit dark.
Uh-oh.
So Lee went through something dark and felt alone. And she thought that she may have been sexually abused by a family member.
Oh, no.
She thought this because she had a distinct fear of sexual intimacy. And that was the only explanation she could think of. But then her memories started to come back, but slower than her brother. She, too, was also abducted. It was during a session of hypnotic regression in 1992, when she was a teen, that she would recall an invasive experience. she would find herself on a UFO with strange beings surrounding her. They would then proceed to subject her to painful procedures to remove samples of eggs and reproductive tissue. Although both Scott and Lee had experiences, they would both look upon them differently. While Scott looked upon it as something to be afraid of, Lee would go on to say that she was strangely thankful for the experience. At the time of this statement, Lee was studying Tibetan Buddhism, which recognises spiritual encounters that those have been abducted experience.
How do I make light of this section?
Do you?
Well, I don't think that I do. Interestingly, some people just don't like sex, and that's quite hard to understand for those of us who do, but it is a thing, just some people just don't get the same sensations, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that two family members are both being targeted. Again, my memory is so bad at the moment, but we've covered a case quite recently whereby bloodlines were important.
They do say that abductions seem to happen within families.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was now. Oh, what's his name? Was it David Icke? Talking about how it could have been anyone, but just he was born into that bloodline where his family have always been studied. Was it him?
Possibly. I really it wasn't, my memory is
It wasn't
awful.
Russ Keller is E.T. Rider, to my recollection, because he was a super soldier.
He was.
But it was an episode fairly recently. So we do have some previous coverage of that scenario. So is it that they've just always studied this bloodline and they're maybe testing to see how it develops as they do bits and pieces? At risk of going into an episode I'm researching at the moment, but it's been suggested in that one that we'll cover probably in about 20 episodes time that the aliens are eating our fluids. So that's why they abduct us. It's not to study us. It's because they actually feed on our, be that blood or bodily fluids of other type.
Then why aren't we turned into, you know, the same way that we house chickens?
Yes.
Why? Well,
what do you think Earth is?
Ooh, they're getting us nice and juicy.
Some of us getting real juicy. Junk in the trunk,
baby! What do you reckon interests them then? Like, what would be the ideal human for them? Is it someone that has a good diet? Is it someone that smokes 20 a day?
I mean, maybe that adds a nice twang. My inclination was to say I'd imagine it would be pure, but maybe it's not. Maybe they like the spice.
Maybe they're marinated.
Yeah, maybe they're
in liquor and cigarettes.
Dropping all these types of ingredients into our laps, so to speak, so that they get different flavours. Have a little nibble, drop us back.
Mmm.
It's a little bit grim, though, isn't it, when we cover harvesting eggs and reproductive tissue and whatnot.
It is.
I don't like the links to possible abuse in childhood, because we're a comedy podcast and that makes it quite hard to have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah. But I think I don't think she was. I think she just bought that.
Well, even
not.
So, I mean, yeah, if it's suppose. There, it's there, isn't it? And now that it's been raised, I don't want to be disrespectful to the folks involved, bless them.
Then let's not be. In 1991, a music student in her...
Eggs on toast.
Whoppers a delicacy.
Could be. Absolutely.
Like caviar.
So if they take the easy option and just munch on an arm or a leg, that's like juicy and fatty, but that ain't the sweet stuff.
In 1991, a music student in her early 20s named Catherine contacted Mac Daddy,
baby,
following on from an encounter she had weeks earlier, and wanted help recalling what exactly happened. Just after midnight, she was heading home from her job as a receptionist at a nightclub. She was driving home as normal, but for some reason, she just carried on driving. When she got home, finally, she couldn't account for 45 minutes of that drive.
We've all been there.
I've wanted to carry on and just carried on.
I was going to ask you a question, but I was going to wait till the end of the section you're on. But as you've interjected yourself, do you ever just go out for a drive to have fun now in your car?
I haven't yet, simply because I've just been too busy with work. But
yeah,
I cannot wait until I do.
Just hitting that open road.
It's going to be an expensive drive.
No, it's in your car. You might as well have bought a flying saucer. Probably wouldn't snap your neck back as much.
I think I'm going to put some petrol in. I'm just driving Sport Plus.
In Steed's,
and then just put some
in Steed's compensation.
Steed's vengeance.
Compensation. Steed's overcompensation.
It's subtle.
We are. It's anything but subtle. We are having some callbacks today. People who are new to the show are going to have no idea what's going on. I'm not entirely
sure.
All
the more reason to go back and listen.
Indeed. And you can let us know what episodes they are, because our minds are getting old. Mainly Granville's.
The following morning, reports on the news spoke about UFO sightings in the area. Not only that, but it was reported that they were spotted at the same time she was driving home. Witnesses, including a police officer, stated that they saw the craft hover for several moments in the sky and shine a light down towards the ground. When the news showed the route that the alleged UFO took, Catherine was in complete shock as it mirrored the odd drive she undertook that night. Once she sat down with Mac Daddy to find out what happened, they uncovered much more than they bargained for.
Oh, that's interesting. So Mac Daddy is going around interviewing all these people and all sorts of alien stories are coming out. Does the fact that Mac Daddy is showing up and the one asking the questions predetermine that outcome, because people know that's what he's come around to ask questions about? So that's where the mind automatically goes when they're under? Maybe, but we'll get to that at the end. So the...
How you asked the question and answered it yourself? All
well,
within,
you're not going to tell me,
the same breath.
I'm fully aware you're holding back information to make an episode.
Not holding back anything.
Well, you're not giving it all at once, because otherwise the episode would be over in like 10 minutes. And we got to go back and forth a little bit, have a little bit of a good time, you know?
Bit of foreplay.
Yeah, exactly. Ease it in.
Don't spunk it all too early.
Exactly. You don't want to shoot your load prematurely. We got content to produce. So the craft and the car followed the same route.
Mm-hmm.
Did the craft pick up the car, or did it pick up the person and take her down that route and then drop her back in a car? How do we know what route the car took? Are you going to answer that one? Or
we know the route the car took was the same route that Catherine drove. And
but
the UFO.
But I'm asking how we know that.
Because Catherine said so.
So we've got her word for it,
Catherine.
When she's been abducted and her memories are not reliable.
Any dishonourable Catherines? Precisely. Let's move on.
I can only think of Catherine Tate and Catherine Ryan, and I've not met either of them. I don't know enough about celebrity to know if they've done anything naughty that would question
cool,
their...
Let's carry on.
To be fair, I think Catherine Ryan's quite a nice character from what I understand. I don't know anything about Catherine Tate. I can't remember who exactly she is.
They uncovered.
Covered?
Uncovered.
They unqueefed.
They uncovered what Catherine had believed to have been dreams as a kid, to find out that these weren't dreams, but were repressed memories. One of these memories was when she was a child, 3 years old.
That's an early memory.
A strange light appeared in her room, and at her window, a funny looking guy was staring at her. She describes what she saw.
Black hair. Beats headphones.
It had huge black hair.
Kind of fit. Kind of fat. Merchandise everywhere.
It had huge black eyes and a pointed chin. Its entire head was like a teardrop inverted. He's got a line for a mouth and a nose. I can't see totally well, but it's not a human nose. It's just a bump. He doesn't seem to be wearing any clothes.
Fucking naked Voldemort.
He doesn't seem, to have any colour to him.
Make him Voldemort. He ain't got no colour. Got slit mouth, bump nose.
Voldemort the undressed. The uncouth.
That ain't a snake in the sky. That's Nakey Voldemort, son.
Nakey
Harry! Watch it wiggle, Harry!
The being then walked through the wall.
You shall not be named.
And was within the blue light at the end of her bed. She then got the feeling that she was floating above her bed and then out of the door into the hallway. During the session, she was visibly experiencing the same panicked state that she did on that day and would scream out,
"Monsters are coming for me!
Hello! Hello! Harry! Wiggle, wiggle. I'm twerking, Harry!"
Twerking Voldemort.
She was still being carried through the house and into the living room. All the while, the blue light was enveloping her. And then she states that there were more strange creatures moving really fast around the room. They would pick things up and put them down as if examining them. Next, she would be floated out of the house and through a nearby field to a ship, a disc-shaped ship.
Was she floated out on a broom?
And this ship allegedly had lights all over it, led her by the wand.
Yeah, illumination lights.
Touched her on the forehead with the rod.
We're on to this.
Inside the ship, she was taken to a round room, which had other children inside it.
Touches her on the head. It makes her look down at the wiggle.
I call it Nagini, Harry!
She claims most of them were older than her. One being then entered the room and with a metallic rod started to guide a metallic ball around the room. This being then said, "You've done very well. We're very pleased with your individual progress."
"You've done very well, Harry!"
Then Catherine was back in her room and the beings were nowhere to be seen. She didn't feel any fear though. What she felt was pride.
So we've got another couple of callbacks here. Was it Meng Zhao or something? The Chinese guy who was lifted through the ceiling into a spaceship whilst his wife slept. Do you remember that one?
No. Maybe those kind words from the being were a comfort to her.
Oh, sorry.
There we go.
No, I don't remember it. Damn it. And we've got a metallic ball, the Bet Sphere. Moving of its own accord.
Sorry, what?
The Betts Sphere.
What episode was that?
I don't remember. Interesting. There's so many familiar areas in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mac Daddy causing all the familiarity, or is this like the most consistent group of alien visitations? They're all being pulled together.
Like we say in my line of work, consistency is key.
Good memory for a three-year-old.
Great memory for a three-year-old.
She's remembered the metallic ball, Voldemort, children being older than her.
That'll be the upper years, whatever they're called in Harry Potter. Upperclassmen, I don't know.
The older children?
Yeah, that.
The year above?
The bigger boys.
She remembers all the Death Eaters. Looking at their stuff, searching for clues. Clues as to what? We don't know. What's she done?
This sense of pride would soon turn to fear when in her teenage years she was taken again. This time placed upon a table in the middle of a room.
In the middle of the room.
One of the beings was over her, staring at her as if contemplating what to do next.
Do I shake it left?
She would explain how its eyes made her feel unnerved. When pushed to elaborate, she describes what she sees.
They're very big. Much bigger than ours. And they don't blink. They're all black.
I can't see any pupils. I can't see retina. No whites. Nothing. Just all black.
Voice was like a combination of Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy and Victorian Child in London.
I've not done voices for so long that I don't think I can do them anymore.
You can.
Could probably do Mickey Mouse and that's about it.
Right now, bitch.
She states that it continued to look at her. Not like she was a human, but more like she was an experiment. It was at this moment that Catherine realised she was part of some kind of experiment and had no control over what was happening or going to happen to her. When she was able to step down from the table, she was then escorted to another room. This room brought back more memories. Within this room, there were cases from floor to ceiling and all the way across the room too. She couldn't see exactly what was in the cases, but she knew in her bones that something was inside them. Before going on to explain what was in the cases, strange creatures, deformed in nature, naked and standing in some kind of liquid.
Look at it, Harry!
Catherine was then led out of this room and into a corridor before being led down a ramp and across the field to her family home.
Why does Voldemort want people to look at his dick so much?
No idea.
Where did that even come from?
Is that his old beef with Harry? Harry never looked.
Harry couldn't bring himself to look.
That's all he wants from Harry.
His forehead was throbbing because he's trying to resist the turn.
All he wants is Harry to look.
Nothing else. No. Doesn't want anything else. Just look. Bit creepy when Harry was 11 to begin with.
Very.
So she doesn't describe what actually happened to her on the table.
No.
We're thinking something pretty dark, I take it.
Yeah.
Does she not say, or do we just not get it on the coverage because it is pretty dark?
Doesn't say.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about continuing the session when those sorts of things come out. That's all. I've got nothing else to add on that line. Just I don't know.
I mean, what do you do?
Where does your duty of care step in?
Do you stop at that point?
Is it better to stop at that point or redirect?
Completely?
Redirect somewhere else?
But then if you're redirecting, are you leading?
Well, I'm guessing they're leading to begin with. But then the alternate, is it better to work through it and then to deal with it than to repress it? I don't know.
Would you rather know or not know if you'd been slabbed?
That's not an on-the-spot question. You've really put me on the slab there.
So you'd rather know?
I'd rather know, but not remember the way it felt. So have the knowledge that it happened to me, but, I don't know.
Ignorance is bliss, baby. I don't want to know.
Yeah, this is a really, really difficult topic.
Because even if I knew and not kind of knew what happened, I would imagine all sorts and never feel
comfortable. Do you know what? We're talking about aliens specifically here, not something like traumatic non-alien wise.
Mm.
If it was aliens, I'd want to know.
I wouldn't.
Because I want to know that aliens are visiting.
I'd maybe want to know if I was abducted, not if I was slabbed.
You were slabbed, my friend. Sorry. Completely ignored what you said there and told you anyway.
It was you, wasn't it?
Don't give me the knowledge. I can't be trusted with it. It was me wiggling around the room. Granville!
I pictured you as a snake in a robe. In that moment. Voldo John. That's why you can't trust him. Now we take...
He's your favourite character in the film.
It's not the point. To be fair, it's not that he's my favourite character.
It's that you hate just Harry.
My dislike of Harry is so...
Unadulterated rage for Harry.
Now let's take a look at another case. This time, a gentleman by the name of Paul approached Mac Daddy
Baby.
At a conference he was attending in New Hampshire in the early 90s. Paul had seen a psychologist due to several experiences he'd started having recently, one of which involved a strange being on his stairs. When he began his sessions, it became apparent that this recent experience wasn't the first at all. And it all started when Paul was 3 years old.
Ooh.
He would recall encounters with strange entities. These sessions... I knew you'd fucking giggle. These sessions would become so terrifying for the psychologist, they could no longer conduct the sessions.
Whoa! Shit, psychologist!
Mac Daddy... Weren't you just saying a minute ago?
Irrelevant.
Should they continue? Mac Daddy, however, would not be put off by such things.
It wasn't that they shouldn't continue because they're scared. It was that they shouldn't continue if it's bad for the patient. Okay. If they're just too pussy to go through it, excuse the terminology, if they're too cowardly, massively cowardly little pricks.
Mac Daddy was not one of these cowardly little pricks, as John Boy would say. He would not be put off by such things. So he began having sessions with Paul. Mac would ask Paul to describe the entities. He said they would be wearing a full bodysuit, had large white bald heads, and would have large black eyes.
That's Mr. Moonwalker is showing me a picture of a quite typical pop culture alien grey, big grey head with a big grey forehead, big black eyes, blue onesie, holding a crystal ball by the looks of it, slash light.
I don't know if it's a crystal ball or just energy in its
Well, hand. I want it to be a crystal ball because I've imagined that this alien is called Greg.
Mystic Greg.
And Mr. Greg can foresee the future by looking into said ball.
Ah. Can you remember the section in The Sun, Mystic Meg?
Yeah. I used to read that. Didn't believe it for shit, but I used to read it all the time.
It was just funny to read.
Yeah. Back in the days before the internet.
I wonder if he could still, like, pull up the columns on the internet. Right, after this episode, I'm going down a little rabbit hole.
The problem is that rabbit hole is going to be a big one because there's going to be absolutely millions of people doing that kind of work these days.
Could be some probes. The sessions would continue and Paul would recount how these entities would believe that humans are a genuine mystery. Hmm. In how our free thought resists to change the things that feed our destructive nature. Allegedly, truthfully, all humans have the knowledge of the beginnings of time locked deep within us. But it was something we would struggle to ever gain access to because as a collective, we are out of balance with both nature and the universe. During his sessions, Paul would often switch and say things like, "We came across the planet thousands of years ago. We have made connections here before with primitive life forms." When asked how he knew this, he would simply reply, "Like a memory."
So Paul is talking like an AI voice. He's basically Siri.
An alien Siri.
So is it the aliens talking through him, or is he tapping into those deep memories?
Those deep memories.
And that's what happens.
Alien DNA within.
Alien DNA within?
Alien
did you
DNA.
Say that? I missed that if you did.
Screw what I just said.
So I guess... Well, you're not far off from what you did say. I guess the argument here would be that our DNA contains memories passed down through generations. We just can't access it.
Because
I can't imagine how else that would be plausible.
So he's able to access it.
Yeah.
So Mac would ask why there are now an influx of people coming forward with an apparent alien gene, although dormant, intertwined within them. Alien DNA, baby. The answer from Paul, while still under hypnosis, is that collectively humans were now at that level that they could accept and understand such a notion.
Bullshit.
But he also said that this is going back and forth. Paul was shocked by all this information that he had stored within. Paul would also make references to reptilian aliens way before they became popularized by the likes of David Icke.
Kick the baby.
I'll kick the baby.
So, I think it's bullshit that we are, as a species, at a level where we could accept and understand that notion.
Which notion?
The notion you said.
About the beginnings and alien...
About having the alien gene, I guess, is what you meant, isn't it?
Mm. I don't think we're beyond the notion of believing that aliens are among us. Because I think pop culture and media has kind of drip-fed that enough that people are at that point now where they're just like...
I think...
They already believe that aliens are among
us. Sadly, a lot of people are looking for a reason, and this is going to be quite harsh, so apologies, but a lot of people are looking at a reason to be special. They feel like they need something in their life, so they start believing they're abducted or whatnot. And I don't believe that that is true, necessarily. I think people should be more interested in finding happiness.
What if that is their happiness?
To think that you're... To think that you're special, a.k.a. better than other people.
No, to think that you've been abducted. What if that makes you... Who's to say they necessarily think that they're better?
I'm not saying in every case, but I think there's a dangerously close link between those two notions.
I don't disagree. I'm just arguing for argument's sake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I say, every case is going to be different, so there are some that probably wouldn't meet that criteria. But I think if you look on the Twitter or... Like, online discussions
on the Twitter
from folks who do have those beliefs. They're quite often calling themselves... Yeah, like indigo children or whatever it may be.
Talking down on people that don't believe in certain things.
Yeah, exactly that, exactly that. See, I'm...
I don't give a fuck what people believe. Just be cool.
Yeah, and don't talk
like
down.
Me.
I am the coolest
baby.
Once you do the baby once, you cannot stop it.
No, you can't.
I'll be doing it all weekend now.
Baby, all weekend, baby. Weekender, baby. Now, although we have some snippets of cases here, and we can by all means decide whether or not we believe that these cases are real, what I'd like us to look at is whether or not we believe that Mac Daddy himself is completely legit and that there is no ulterior motive at hand here, whether that be fame, whether in the UFO circles or even on a grander scale, and whether or not he was doing this all for the money. So let's take a look at science and skepticism. Mac Daddy was peer-reviewed and it was determined that his methods were considered non-leading and acceptable. Whilst these methods are technically sound, it didn't stop colleagues shunning him or not wanting anything to do with his work. He was accused of fantasy proneness, with a tendency to exaggerate and possibly just lie. Was Mac's desire for these alien theories following that fateful day with Bud Hopkins so great that it made him want it so much as to delude himself?
Yes, another possibility.
And after an interview in 1994, Jay Mishlove stated that Mac seemed inclined to take these reports of abductions at face value. To which Mac replied, "Face value? I wouldn't say. I take them seriously." Or was his motivation in the dollar signs? After collecting so many allegedly truthful accounts in the early 90s, by 1994, he had written a book, Abduction, Human Encounters of Aliens. And in 1999, his second book on the extraterrestrial phenomena was released, Passport to the Cosmos, Human Transformation and Alien Encounters.
You know what? I've got no issue with the writing of books. Like, why wouldn't you try to make a career out of something you enjoy or you're interested in?
Absolutely. But was it just for the money? Or was it to get these stories out there?
Possibly both.
That's what we're here to decide.
So!
To summarize, we have three cases that were investigated by the Miggity Mac Daddy, John Mac. It started with the account from Scott, where he began having flashbacks and partial memories. He spoke of an encounter within his garden as a child, when a big ant-looking creature touched his head with a rod and then he went running back inside to his mother. As he grew up, he received medical treatment for things such as headaches, dizziness and hallucinations. Scott's sister Lee was also subjected to abduction and experimentation by the same beings. However, she looked upon the experiences differently to her brother. Lee was thankful. We then heard about Catherine, who was abducted in her 20s, then sought out John Mac. This opened up a whole can of revelations, which included being abducted at the age of 3 and being praised, before being abducted again in her teens and being subjected to experimentation. Which leads us to our third and final case, the one of Paul, who, after having experiences of someone on his stairs and getting no help from his psychologist, met Mac Daddy, John Mac, at a conference and then became a patient. We heard how at the age of 3, he would have experiences with aliens and was told about knowledge that humans had locked deep within us, but we are unable to unlock due to not being in tune with nature and the universe. He then went on to say that we had begun to go back and forth, being in flow and new people realizing the alien DNA within them and coming out of flow and no one saying shit. He also spoke about reptilians before it was cool. So Greybeard, what I'm asking you really is not about these individual cases, but the man presenting them. Can we trust this John?
I think we can trust him in that he probably believes, but I don't trust his research in that I think the very mere presence of John Mac Daddy doing these interviews is leading people down that rabbit hole, and they're probably already thinking that way because John's been called in.
So we can trust this John?
So I'm saying that I don't have anything to suggest he doesn't believe. I just don't believe what he believes. Do you believe?
I'm in agreement. So I believe he wants to find the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to discover what is actually out there. But I believe some of the people that have contacted him aren't necessarily... or haven't necessarily been abducted or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think they may be looking for maybe fame, a little bit of money.
Maybe fame. Maybe they're trying to deal with what
trauma.
They've got. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I think they may be looking for answers to something else. And if something's happened to them, if they're having nightmares, they may see him. Okay, if I'm having those kind of nightmares, maybe this has happened. I'll go and see him. And like you said, already knowing that they're seeing yeah. him implants.
They're already thinking those things subconsciously.
Like subconscious
yeah.
thoughts into their brain. So he's asking questions that he would normally ask and getting answers that mm-hmm. aren't there but have yeah. just been manifesting in their brain.
And if that helps people, then bloody brilliant. I think whatever helps you to deal with shit in life is fine. And I'd prefer it being gone about this way, where people are just going to seek the help and taking action to explain whatever they're dealing with.
So on the notion of can we trust this John?
Yeah.
No. We cannot trust this John.
But we can.
But we can trust his morality.
So I'm not saying that it was aliens, but I am trusting this John?
Yeah. We cannot trust his findings,
but we can trust this John. Is that clear for everyone? Cool.
Like all Johns, honest honourable. And trustworthy. Honest, honourable and trustworthy.
Honest too. Royal.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Mac Daddy of a Probe. Our socials are now actually all the same.
Hey!
But it was aliens. That's Instagram, Facebook. We have the Facebook group, Extraterrestrial Towers, and obviously we are also on Twitter! That was awful. On Twitter! But it was aliens. And you can also find us on Patreon.com/ But It Was Aliens, where there is Rasputin's dick. Voldemort disguised as Rasputin's dick, doing his little wiggle, trying to get Harry to have a look.
Harry!
And Rasputin's dick.
It's pretty much exclusively what we cover on the Patreon.
Yeah.
We're talking diameter,
girth,
width, length, height,
how many hairs,
verticality, curvature, circumference, shape, species.
If you've made it this far,
well done.
I have been Moonwalker. He has been Greybeard. And we are But It Was Aliens. Hashtag
Probe.
You could never trust a John.